Okay, so we're here today. My name is Marshall McKnight. On behalf of Nassau Presbyterian Church and the Adult Education Committee, welcome to art class. If you were expecting physics, you came to the wrong class. So we're happy to have you here today. And today we're going to be taught by Carmel Beaujolin, who I will introduce in a moment. But first, let's pray. Creator God, we give thanks for this beautiful day, the second Sunday of Advent, in which you bring us peace through the birth of your Son. We are so grateful for that greatest gift. Please open our hearts and minds today to the art and artist within us, the art and artists all around us, and the art in your creation that is ever evolving today, tomorrow, in the weeks, months, years to come, forever and ever. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So today we are so pleased to have Carmel Beaujolin with us. Carmel is a Haitian-American visual artist, human-centered design consultant, and holy cheerleader based in Princeton, New Jersey. Her creative focus includes abstract impressionism, expressionism, painting inspired by Afro, Latin, Caribbean art styles, and Christian spirituality. She is the founder and lead curating artist at Beau Folio Studio, an emerging art house at the intersection of sacred art, human-centered design, and restorative equity. You can find some of her work at carmelbeaujolin.com. Some of her most recent commissioned work is found at sanctifiedart.org, and she will be joining us in our Art of Faithfulness program during Lent this coming spring. Please give a warm welcome to Carmel Beaujolin.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks so much. So I'm going to warn you in advance that there will be less talking from me than maybe you might have expected for your adult ed class. But if you feel so inclined, I would like to invite you to stand with me if you are able. And if you don't feel like standing, that's okay. This is a safe space. You can rebel as much as you want. I am myself a rebellious child. But I want to invite you to reach up. And if you're able to now, okay, you gotta have good health insurance. But if you're able to, you can maybe touch your knees. If you're feeling really risky, maybe your toes, but let's stick with the knees. Maybe wake the knees up a little bit. Maybe it's the thighs for you. Come back up. I'm gonna ask you to do one spin. And you have now all officially become Pentecostals. Thank you very much for making the time. Well, I wanted to start off with that because I think, I don't know about you, but Sunday mornings for many of us all week long, we wake up, we get ready, we go somewhere, and Sunday morning sometimes feels no different than hurrying up and getting up and going into your work week. And so sometimes we just need a little bit of time to move, and then we'll have a little bit of silence, and then of course we'll be creating. And so thank you so much for introducing me. Thank you so much for having me. I want to begin by orienting us to what this morning is going to look like and starting off with a story. So in 2016, I created the most important piece of work that I will likely ever create. And several days later, it was in the back of a dumpster truck headed towards a landfill. So this piece of art that I created during the final days of my mom. She was navigating some terminal cancer. And so I set up shop in her hospice room, and that's what I did. I was a student at Princeton Seminary at the time, kind of a student. I took the year off. And so I didn't read Kierkegaard, I didn't read Barthes, I just painted, and that's what I did. And so that final week, I set up shop in there, and that's what I did. And I realized once I got to, you know, the end of whatever I was creating, I was like, oh my God, I had never created anything with my mom. Like, I never had the opportunity to do it. And so while she was sleeping, I kind of took her hand, dipped it in some paint, rubbed it on the canvas. Such a beautiful moment, very, very touching. I can talk about this with a little bit of emotional distance now. But she ended up passing away the next morning. In the subsequent days, in the middle of all the hustle and bustle and trying to navigate kind of closing out estates and different things like that, I did find a little bit of time to continue to work on this art piece. And so what I did whatever I felt like I wanted to do. I got some of her fashion jewelry and kind of Mod Podged it on and glued it on and did different collage things with it. And it just was an expression that I was doing. And then I had this thought in my head. I was like, oh my goodness, this would be such a lovely thing to show at her burial and at her, you know, celebration of life service. This is just a culmination of kind of my expression and her participation in it in some ways. This would be amazing. And so I thought this thought, and I said, okay, so I took a step back and look at what I created with this in mind. And y'all, that thing was the ugliest piece of thing I had ever created. I looked at it and I was like, oh no, 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 no. This cannot be seen by anybody. Fast forward to the failed dumpster dive. As you can see, that is something that I'll never get back. But it taught me a very important lesson about creating and creativity and art. And what it taught me was what you create doesn't find its value in how it looks or how whatever outcomes it is supposed to come from it. But oftentimes the value of what we are creating is who we create alongside. That's what gives the thing the value. So I share this to share a little bit about me, but also as a cautionary tale. You're gonna create things this morning, and if you join me next year during Lent, you'll be doing a little bit more creating. And you're gonna create things that you may look at. I'm not gonna say it's ugly, okay? But you may look at it and be like, I don't really like what I made. I want to encourage you to not toss it away. All of us are artists, okay? All of us are artists. And it doesn't matter whether your art is visual or whether it's scholarship or whether it's curating, organizing spaces or organizing communities or liturgy. We all engage in art in a different way. And so I want you to tap into some of that this morning. All right? Do I have your consent? Yes? Okay. All right. Let's see. What's the best way to do this? Okay. You know about me. You'll learn more about me. Okay. So this morning, we'll be engaging in a practice that I designed called Creatio Divina. And so it's a five-step kind of movement really designed to help to engage folks who may not think that they're artists to create art, or those of us who are artists to get outside of our head when it comes to creating. And so I'll tell you the end from the beginning. We'll be going through five movements. They're very brief. You may feel like some parts are fast. That's okay. We'll be engaging with a little bit of breathing this morning. Then we'll go into a movement of invitation. I'll tell you a little bit about that when we get there. We'll have three movements of creating, which that's where the readings in front of you will become relevant. I will read them aloud to you so you don't have to necessarily follow along, but for those of us who really want to have the visual, it's there, and I don't know if it'll be on the PowerPoint, but it'll definitely be in front of you. After we go through three movements of creating with the supplies in front of us, we will be doing an examine, which is a very loose variation of an Ignatian examine, just looking at what we've created, what has come out for us. Then we'll move into our final event, which will be the ask. This is where we ask an open-ended question of God. and looking for the inklings of God's responses throughout our week, okay? All right, so let's do a quick supply check. So in front of you, you don't need a Creatio Divina guide because I am your guide. You'll have the insert here in front of you if you need it. So in your little pockets there, there should be a piece of cambric cloth, wet one wipe that you will likely need at the end of this. So I thought ahead for you. And you'll have oil pastels available in front of you. So if anyone's missing anything, let me know. But if your cloth, if you're looking at your neighbor's cloth and it's bigger and mine is smaller, that's okay. That is intentional. But it's a piece of cambric cloth. And some folks have asked, what is this? It's the same cloth that you find under your couch, in case you're curious. The last thing that I will share as we go into it. So there will be a moment in which I will ask you to create. And for some folks, that is very anxiety-inducing, and I totally understand. Even if you're a working artist, you still have anxiety oftentimes about creating. And so I want to encourage you to do holy scribbles. It is exactly what it sounds like. It is a holy scribble. You just create circles. If you don't know, if all else fails and you're not sure what to do, just create circles, squiggly lines, and oftentimes, you take a step back and you may say, oh, it looks like something. Hence this platypus that you see over here was born out of holy scribbles. But so if you're not sure what to do as we go through the process, just do circles and it'll get you where you need to go. So I want to begin by inviting us into a posture of breathing. So if you haven't already, I invite you to pick one oil pastel color. That's the one you'll start off with. It is not the one that you will have to stay with forever, but it is the one that you'll start off with. And we'll open our time with a time of breathing and meditation just to settle our minds. It was a lot of maybe words in the beginning, just to settle our minds, calm us down a little bit. And then we'll move into the creating. Does that sound good? Okay. I want to invite you, if you feel so led, to close your eyes or have your gaze looking down, someplace relaxed where you're not too stimulated. And I want to invite you into a time of breathing. One of my ways of doing breathing, it's called alternate nose breathing. And so what that may look like, you might take a thumb or a pinky finger, or you might take two different fingers from each hand, and you'll cover one nostril, and you'll take a deep breath in. You'll hold it for a second at the top while you switch nostrils, covering the other, and breathing out from the other one. You'll take a breath in from that same nostril. You'll cover the other one, and you'll breathe out from the other nostril. I'll do it one more time with you, and then I'll let you have a moment or two on your own. Take a deep breath in. Switch nostrils. Out. And I want to invite you to make an audible sound with your breath. Take a deep breath in. Switch. We'll do that for a moment. Thank you. As you continue breathing, I want to invite you to do a body scan just to see where you are today. Beginning at the tops of our head as you breathe. Is your mind busy this morning? That's okay. You're just observing, seeing where you are. Are you clenching in your jaw? If so, a good way to release would be to put slight space between your top teeth and your bottom teeth and unstick your tongue from the roof of your mouth. Going to our shoulders, maybe you're like me, your shoulders tend to be up to your ears. I want to invite you to lift them up and maybe put them back and down. If you have your eyes closed, you're welcome to keep them closed or look down, but I invite you into the next movement, which is invite. And in this space, we're inviting our intention and what we would hope to gain out of the practice. And so in this space, I will invite God into this space, but you are free to welcome whatever guiding intention that you would like to help you through this practice. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this space as we create. I invite you to open your eyes. Thank you so much for trusting me while your eyes were closed. I ensure all of your belongings are still intact. So we'll go into a time of creating. And the way that this usually goes is that I will do a reading out loud. So similar to Lectio Divina, I'll do a reading out loud and then I will invite you into a time of creating. This is where you can do your scribbles. This is where you can do your circles. This is where you can do whatever it feels that comes to mind. And the theme that I was thinking about, what would be meaningful for our time together? And I wanted to engage in the idea of thriving in this space. What does it look like to thrive in your community here at Nassau? What does it look like to thrive in the wider community of Princeton, or maybe in your families, or wherever you're working, or in your scholarship community, whatever that may be? What does it look like to do that? We oftentimes are thinking a lot in those spaces and trying to strategize and trying to coordinate, but we don't have a lot of time to reflect on whether the work is meaningful to us or why it's meaningful to us or how to make it meaningful to us. And so I want to invite you to be able to do that in this space. And so as I begin the first reading, I want to invite you to a posture of listening. Hear now the first reading, which comes from Jeremiah 29, verse 7. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. As I invite you to create, I invite you to think about the question, what might a thriving community look like? I invite you into a time of creating. Please do let me know if you're missing anything.
Spirit moments.
So I want to invite you to put your pastels down for a moment. And I want to invite you to take your creation into your hand and thank it. You created this beautiful so far. And when you thank it, I want to invite you to pass your creation one person to your right. In life, sometimes you create beautiful things with great intentions, and then a bully comes and tells you that you have to give it away. And oftentimes, in the process of that, we inherit other people's dreams and creations and ideas and thoughts, and now we have to continue creating on top of that. That is very anxiety-inducing for some, and for others, maybe you're one of the 2% that finds that exhilarating. But I want to invite you into a second movement of creating. And hear now the reading. And this one comes from Makoto Fujimura, Art and Faith, A Theology of Making. Hear now. By giving up our art, we are made into true artists of the kingdom. Unless we become makers in the image of the maker, we labor in vain. Whether we are plumbers, garbage collectors, taxi drivers, or CEOs, we are called by the great artist to co-create, to share in the heavenly breaking in to the broken earth. Friends, I invite you into a third movement of creating. friends, I invite you to place your pastels down. And I invite you to look at what you've created. Take it in your hands, thank it for its time. And I invite you to pass it one more time to your right. Friends, oftentimes, not only do we inherit things that we don't expect in our journey, but then we have to again give it away. By the time we get the next thing, it looks completely unrecognizable, and we oftentimes get really anxious about how or what we can even add to what's already in front of us. And so as we go towards a third cycle of creating, I invite you to consider what that may look like for the community that you're thinking of or the place in which you sit in life. And here now, the third and final reading for our time of creating. This reading comes from Psalms for Black Lives, Reflection for the Work of Liberation by Gabby Cujo Wilkes and Andrew Wilkes. Though the systems enslaved our bodies, they could not enslave our minds. Though the systems segregated our bodies, they could not segregate our souls. I invite you into a final movement of creating. Friends, I invite you to place your pastels down. Take a look at what you've created. Thank it. And we will return it back to its original owner. So that should be two spaces to your left. moment to look at what has been built upon what you originally created. Some of you may not even recognize your own, the work that you began with. But I do want to give you just a few moments to add any last touches to your piece. And in the next few moments, I want to invite you to consider the ways in which sometimes the work of your hands, sometimes the work of your life, whether it's your scholarship or your family, has been touched by many different facets of the community around you. Some parts of it you may not care for so much. That's okay. We can be honest here. But then other parts of it enhance the greater picture of your life. So I want to invite you for one. I said the last one was the last cycle of creating, but I lied. I want to invite you to the final moment of creating, where you can add whatever colors or whatever feels right to you. And if you feel like it feels pretty complete, that's okay too. Give you just a moment or two to do that. Friends, as we come towards the end of our time of creating, I want to invite you to a moment of reflection. Take a moment to think about what came to mind. And if it's, I don't really want to do this, that is a valid thought. There are reasons why we think these thoughts. Don't discount anything that comes up for you or anything that has come up for you. All of that is information. All of that is information. So I invite you to a time of thinking, wondering, what were the thoughts that came up? Was I thinking about dinner? Was I thinking about lunch? Was I thinking about service? Was I thinking about the book I have to write? What came up? And I also want you to reflect on what's actually in front of you. Are there shapes, colors, things that came up? Are you wondering who added who or who added what? Is your own creation lost in what you've created? So I want to give you some space to consider those things. And there's some other questions up there that you can consider as well. We'll do that for a moment. Friends, as we move into our final movement of asking, I want to invite you to ask an open-ended question of God. Now, I don't know if there are any Presbycostals in here, but I was oftentimes raised with the kind of prayers that are more like affirmations of God. So we're saying, God, you are good. God, you are wonderful. God, you are great. Thank you, God, for this food. Thank you, God, for these things. And I remember I heard a pastor once say, you know, we oftentimes are praying to God and feeling like I'm not really getting any responses. And one of the analogies he used was, imagine meeting someone, falling in love, wondering if you're going to get engaged, or wondering if they're going to ask you out, whatever the case is, and they just come up to you, and all they say is, Holly, oh, you're so great, you're so wonderful, I know that you're great. Thank you for being awesome. Thank you for one day just being all of these things. And you're sitting there like, are you just going to ask? Oftentimes, we don't ask God for anything. And so I want to invite you to move into a space where you ask God an open-ended question, something that has an actual question mark at the end. And that's really risky, because what if we don't hear anything? What if we hear something that we don't want to hear? But I want to invite you to do that in this space. And so in this time of silence, as we close, I want to invite you to ask an open-ended question of God. Friends, hear the final blessing. As the Creator creates and recreates us, so are we creators. May we be attentive to the inklings we encounter in response to the asks of our hearts, the creation of our beings, and the creativity of our hands. Amen. Thank you so much for trusting me on this ride. And I know that we're at our time, but I just want to ask one question and see if anyone, what was this like for you? What was this like for you? I'm like listening in for this service. What was this like for you? And if there are, you know, you're not going to hurt my feelings. I might cry in the car, but I won't cry in front of you. But honestly, what did this feel like?
It was very calming. I'd spent 4 days busy with friends, and it just quieted me down. Thank you.
I especially appreciated the opportunity to ask God an open-ended question at the end. It brought up a question that's kind of been like bubbling around in my mind, and all the work we had done previous to it kind of set the ground to be like, oh, that's what I need to be talking to God about.
I think you had something.
I guess I started out somewhat skeptical. I wasn't sure what this was going to be like, because it's very different, I mean, than most of the times we have here. But it ended up being incredibly beautiful. I think the fact that we could share these things, and I'm certainly not an artist, but that there is beauty in this, and sort of the sharing within the community, even though it was silent and there was, I mean, except for your talking, there was very little, I think there was a lot of communication going on.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that you mentioned that you don't consider yourself an artist, because I have a few of them framed. But these two in particular, I had the opportunity to do this at a Lily gathering in October with 250 people all at once. So exciting. And most of these people are very, you know, cerebral thinkers. And I saw some visible, what is she going to have us do? What are they doing? And these two in particular, one, one person runs an organization, you know, and the other person's a lay person that was invited there. And they both came up to me and mentioned, they had a few of them, but mentioned that they're not artists at all. And that they've never, like, even touched a paintbrush or whatever the case is. And I'm like, these are some of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. They were definitely not how I looked at my first piece when I first created, you know, the story I shared. So thank you so much for trusting the process and being open to it. And we'll do a little bit more of this during Lent. It'll be a little different. But thank you again.
Thank you, Carmel Beaujolin. That was awesome. As I look around, as I was passing the microphone, I'm just really impressed by all the works of art that are co-created. It's been a transforming hour. Thank you so much. Next week, we will have Paul Rorem return to share with us and teach with us, professor at Princeton Theological Seminary. He will talk about hymns that prepare and celebrate. We hope you'll join us. Have a good day.
And I also want to mention, because oil pastels are, well, oil pastels, you're welcome to put it right back into that little pocket. It'll protect you, the art, and everyone around you from it.